Okay, so in the very top of Yud Beis and Aleph, the Gemara was discussing figuring out the calculations or the miscalculations of Achashverosh about when the 70 years were going to be up of Galus. So the Gemara just had brought a raya that part of the miscalculation was they counted 1 year. Actually, they had 1 year kings, because the issue was when Dayarvish and Koresh had switched over kings, they counted it as 2 years, even though it really happened in one given year. So the Gemara brings a raya in the top, Tanya Namihachi. The Braisa also serves as a raya. V'od shana acheres lebavel. There was one extra year that Achashverosh missed. V'alma Dayavish v'ashlimo. That Dayavish was the king and it was complete. And Rashi explains that it was the b'shnos nivuchanetzer v'avil merudach nivla shana. That they had miscalculated 1 year. They were one was absorbed in the other one. The Gemara says that it wasn't only Achashverosh and Nebuchadnezzar that had who miscalculated the 70 years. Also, Daniel miscalculated the 70 years. Rashi, the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, Af Daniel, Ta, B'hai Chushbana, he also miscalculated. Dichsir, the Pasuk tells us, Bishnas Achas L'malko, the first year of being king, Ani Daniel, Beinosi Bisfarm. Daniel's Beinosi Bisfarm. What does it mean, Beinosi Bisfarm? So Rashi, the Gemara explains, Midikamar Beinosi, Michlal de Ta. So the fact that he called Beinosi implies that he made a mistake. What exactly does that mean? So if you look at Rashi right there, the few words, Beinosi Bisfarim, Lashon Svir V'cheshbon. He called himself Svarim, Beinosi Lashon of Bina, to maybe and to understand. He was understanding, he was trying to understand calculations, Svarim Svira, but he had made a mistake in regards to calculating the 70 years. The Gemara says, Rashi alluded to us yesterday that there was a steer in the Pesuk, and the guards are going to explain what the steer had to reconcile this contradiction. The Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha Kra Hadade. The two Pesukim are contradicting each other. Which Pesukim? Ksiv Melos Lebavel, Uksiv Lecharvos Yushalayim. When the 70 years were complete from when they went to Babel, and the 70 years were complete from the destruction of Yushalayim. So are they calculating the 70 years from Babel, or was the calculation supposed to begin from the destruction of Yushalayim? So Amar Rava, Rava explains, Lefkida Ba'alma, so only Lefkida Ba'alma. So Rashi, what does it mean, Lefkida Ba'alma? So Rashi says, V'amar Lefi Melos Lebavel, Shivim Shana, Efkod Eschem, in the completion of the 70 years, the Galus Babel, I will Efkod Eschem, I will appoint you, I will remember you. V'kach Haisa Shinifkadu B'Shana Achas, Lekarish, Melech Pras, Shehishnas Ayin Aleph, Lekibosh Yoyakim, Shepashta Babel, Al Yisrael. So what does it mean, the Fakida, the Alma? What's the explanation here? I guess he remembered them, but didn't quite advance to the Gula until later on. Right. So the Pekida was in that after 70 years they would return to Eretz Yisrael, but the building wouldn't take place for another 18 years later on. So that's what the different calculations are. So there's the Geula, but there's also the Bina Beis Hamikdash. So the Geula began earlier, and that was when they left Babel, but it was only 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Because remember, they've left Yerushalayim at one point, but then the destruction of Yerushalayim took place 18 years later. So they returned back to Yerushalayim 70 years from when they left Yerushalayim, but the building only took place 70 years from when the destruction had taken place. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, V'hainu, Dichsiv Koamar Koresh Melech Pras, when Koresh, the king of Persia, said, Ko Mamlachos Aretz Nasan Li Hashem, Hashem gave to me all the various kingdoms of the world, Nasan Li Hashem Lokei Hashemayim, Hu Pakar Alai Livno Slo Bais Bishlam, that he appointed me to build the Beis HaMikdash. So I guess we see from here, this is a separate point of the building from when they returned. Okay, so you have to like sit down and do all the calculations and draw a whole history of the timeline. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Darish Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, my dech." So what does the pasuk mean when it says, "Kama Hashem lemishicho lechorish asher hechazakti biyamino"? What does it mean when Hashem said to His anointed one, to the Mashiach, He said to Koresh, who was anointed as king, "Whose right hand I have held"? Hechazakti biyamino. What does that pasuk mean? V'chi Koresh Mashiach haya. Koresh wasn't Mashiach. He wasn't the Mashiach as we know it, and he wasn't Mashiach. He wasn't appointed as anointed as a king. He wasn't from David. So he couldn't be a Mashiach. And when we say the word Mashiach, it doesn't mean Mashiach, the ultimate Mashiach. It simply means a king who had been anointed. So what does that mean? El Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach, he said to the actual Mashiach, the name Mashiach, Kova Ani Lecha HaKadosh, I'm expressing a complaint to you, Mashiach. Interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Mashiach in this way. I'm complaining to you about Koresh. Why? Ani Amarti Hu Yivne Beisi V'Kavich Kal Yusi. I had said that he's going to build my house, and he's going to mimikabetz all my people throughout the Golos. Huamar, but Koresh himself says, "Mi vachem meklamo v'yal." So he said, anyone among the entire Am of Kaisel should go up to Yerushalayim. So even though he permitted everyone to go back to Yerushalayim and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, he himself was not involved in this.
Didn't we learn that Koresh was one of the people who became a Rasha? Remember we learned in the Gemara
that... Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that he had two different names, that he was once was good,
I think it was Koresh, one of them.
So this explains that even though he was initially appointed, he was the one who was supposed to bring everyone back and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, he didn't, in fact...
I think also he said that he would give any money they needed, and then he only gave much less money. Wasn't it something that we said something like Rosh Hashanah?
It sounds somewhat familiar.
I think so. Okay. Alright. I think that's what I think he promised to give a lot of money for the Beis Hamikdash, and he ended up giving much less than he promised.
I would go with you on that one.
No, I'm not sure. Alright.
So this is what it means that he was upset with Koresh. Now the Gemara goes back to darshing the psukim of the Megillah. The Gemara says, "Chel prasu madai hapartimim." That's the pasuk in Megillah. So what does that mean? The Persia madai and partamim mean the nobles. So uksiv ulmalchay madai pras, and then it also refers to the kings of madai and pras. So we are referring to the nobles of them, or the kings of madai pras in the psukim of Megillah. The Gemara says, "Amarava asnui asnu bahadadev." They had a certain stipulation, a agreement with each other. Iminen malchim naichu. If Madai was appointed kings, so then you guys will become the governors. But if you guys are the kings, we'll be the governors. So they had this agreement between Madai and Pras. So that's why one pasuk refers to the kings, one pasuk refers to the what we'll call the governors. This is the arrangement that they had with each other. And then the Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean? Baharos has Osher covered Malchuso, that Ahasuerus wanted to show off all his great riches. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Melamed Shalavash Big Dekuna, that Ahasuerus wore the Big Dekuna. Says we knew that already Belshazzar had worn the big, or at least he had used the kalim. So they had access to all the kalim and begadim of the Beis Hamikdash. So Ksiv Hach, how do we know that this pasuk means he wore the Big Dekuna? It's written here Yekar Teferis Dulaso. It says here in the Megillah Teferis. It's written by the Big Dekuna in the Torah, Ulechavaru Lesfaris. So the Gzeisha Tferes tells us that he wore the Big Dekuna. So we'll come back to this in a moment. A question about this: why he wasn't punished for wearing Big Dekuna? We're going to see in a moment that he was punished because he had taken advantage of the using the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. He was punished for that. But we don't see anywhere that he was punished for wearing the Big Dekuna. Why not? It seems to be a violation of the Me'ila, violation of Hektish. So the Sefer Makne points out there's an interesting machlokas that comes up in the Gemara in Kedushin, the Rishonim. The Gemara there talks about Big Day Kuhuna. So machlokas whether or not Big Day Kuhuna had the status of Kedusha's Guf or the status of only Kedusha's Damim. So what's the difference? So he explains, according to the Rishonim, who say Big Day Kuhuna are only Kedusha's Damim. Kedusha's Damim is something that has only a temporary Kedusha. So if someone was to misuse Kedusha's Damim and Me'ila, it would lose its Kedusha and be Chol. So since Belshazzar had preceded Ahasuerus by using Big Dekuna, then it no longer had Kedusha, that's why it wasn't punished. But the Machlokes doesn't answer for the other opinion who thinks, I forget, it's Tosfos or Ramban, I forget who says which one, if you think it's Kedusha's a guf, So even if you misuse Kedusha's guf, it still retained its Kedusha. For example, the Mizbech, if a person was to misuse it, it still retained its Kedusha, it doesn't remove it. So Big Dekuna is Kedusha's guf, so Achashverosh, who had used it, even though it was previously misused by Belshazzar, he should still have been punished for using Big Dekuna, so why is it not mentioned that he gets punished for it? Okay, so then the Gemara says, what do the words mean, Uvimlos Hayamim Ha'ela, that the days were complete? Complete from what? So Rav Ushmuel had a machlokas. Chad Amar Melech Pikechai. One says he's a very smart king. The Chad Amar Melech Tipechai. He's very very stupid, very foolish. Man Damar Melech Pikechai, the one who thinks that he's a very clever king. Shapir Avid Dekar Rechika Bereisha. First, he had invited the further cities from his from Shushan. The Bnei Masa Kol Emas Dibay Mifaisla. Because he always has the opportunity to appease his local, the residents of Shushan. The first he wanted to deal with the ones far away. So that was a very smart move on it, a good strategy. However, the man damar Tipeshaya, the other one who thinks he was somewhat of a foolish king, the Barle Lakari Bnei Masa Bereshe, he should have first appeased Shushan, had invited them to the Suda first. The Imar Dibe Hanach, the Hani Havikaima Bahadeh, if they decide to rebel there in Shushan, were they the first ones to get him? As opposed to a distant city which could have rebelled, he had plenty of time to prepare and to defend himself, so he really should have done the other way around. First invite Shushan and then everybody else. So the two ways to interpret his actions, whether it was something of a smart or a foolish plan.
What's the pasuk say? Do we know? Where do we know that he first got the
Rechokim? See, the whole pasuk says, "Asa Melech l'chol ha'am habira l'migadal v'akata mishtesh shiv v'yavim." So what you have to, I think the other pasukim around it, I think before this, what was the whole, I don't have a Megillah in front of me. I think this is only took place after he had already invited the distant provinces and then he had Shushan come over. Okay, so then the Gemara says, "Shalu Tamidav es Rabban Shimon ben Yochai." The Tamidim of the Rashbi asked him, "Vipnei ma nischayvu sonim shal Yisrael shebe oso hador kil kliyayo?" Why would the people? Why did Klaisel at that point deserve to be wiped out by Haman? What did they do that was so bad? So Amar lehem Amar atem. So Rashbi says, "Why don't you tell me?" He wants to ask the Tamidim, put them on the spot. You give me a good reason. So Amar lo. So they suggested, "Vipnei shenenu misudasa shal oso rasha." Because they had enjoyed the Suda of Achashverosh. So that's that's what's brought down normally. That's the classic reason. That's one of the reasons the Mishnah Berurah says on Purim there's an idea of having a Suda. But by Chanukah, there's no idea of having a Suda. There might be somewhat of an idea by Chanukah. But the Iker celebration of Purim is a Suda, because since it was they were Nana from Achashverosh, from this Suda, they had to come back with eating it, do a proper eating. As opposed to Chanukah, had nothing to do with this type of Avera. Now, Rashbi wasn't so satisfied with his answer. If that's the case, so only Shushan should be killed, because apparently they only were the ones who took part in this Suda. So I'm not sure why that's the case, because we're saying that everyone really took part of the Suda.
It seems that only the Jews from Shushan took part. Uh-huh.
But the Jews from the rest of the world didn't. Uh-huh, okay. So he says, so again, Im Kain, Sheba Shushan, he argued, only the Jews who lived in Shushan, they're the ones who took part in the Suda, only they should have been killed. Sheba Chol Ha'olam Kula Lo Al Yehargu, but everyone else, all the Jews, the rest of the world who did not partake in the Suda, should not have been killed. So the Mepharshim tried to understand what exactly was the Aveir of taking part. What was so bad about taking part in the king's party? Is it such a bad thing to be invited to the king and having a royal meal? The number of answers are given that the Medrash in Esther Rabba explains that this whole meal was orchestrated in order to get them to be involved in Gilui Arayos. So it wasn't the actual eating that was problematic. It was really that what was led to, the whole goal of the Suda was to lead to the Arayos. That's why they were punished. And then bring a diak, the fact that the pasuk doesn't say, Mipnei she'achlu misudaso, it says, Mipnei she'nehna, hana. So it was one hana, a hana, that led to another hana. That's according to the Medrash. Furthermore, the Marasha writes, if it's about the food, the pasuk says, "Kiratzon Mordechai v'Haman," according to the want of Haman and Mordechai, and Marasha explains they were giving kosher food there. They had kosher food. They kashered the kitchen, brought kosher food in, so it couldn't have been about the eating. Had to have been about something else. Now others are not so happy with this Marasha. They say, "No, it's very possible. Who said that it meant that they had kosher food. That maybe they were eating chaylev and dam, and chaylev and dam, those are isurim, that are chayv karis, and that's why they were subject to being wiped out. Others explained that the whole idea of the Suda was to celebrate the fact that 7 years of Galus had come, and Klai Yisrael had not been redeemed. So we see that they were stuck in Galus forever. That was a celebration. So to take part in such a Suda by Jews obviously was a very, very bad thing. Okay, back to the Gemara now. The Gemara continues to explain this back and forth between the Rashbi and his Talmidim. So the Talmidim say, okay, so if our answer wasn't good enough, so Amrulo Emurata. So please, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you please tell us the reason why that generation was deserving of being wiped out. So Amr Lahem, so explain to the Rashbi, Bipnesha Hishtach Vulatzalim, because they had bound down to Itzalim. And Rashi explains it wasn't during the times of Achashverosh, rather it's Bimei Nebuchadnezzar. During the times of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to Tzelem and to Avodah Zarah, and that was taken. The punishment was supposed to be brought out to them during the times of Achashverosh. So there's a Gemara that Tosas in Ksubas that says it wasn't Machlokas whether or not it was actually a Tzelem, or perhaps it was something else that he wore around his neck that wasn't quite a Tzelem, but there's Machlokas whether it was or was not an actual Tzelem. So the Talmidim asked Rabbi Shimon, so I don't understand. If they were bowing down to an idol, so how would they? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu show any favor to them and let them off the hook? Okay, yes, they fasted for 3 days and they did tshuva, all that kind of stuff. But this is a pretty serious thing. It's Avodah Zarah. So how could you really show favor to and let them off the hook? So the Rashbi explains this back to them. Haim lo asu elafanim. Since the Jews only performed this in an outwardly way in front of them, in front of Nebuchadnezzar, but in fact never really did this, had kavanah to do it, so it was really only an external type of avodah zarah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asi mahim elafanim, he only outwardly explained to them to scare them that they're going to be wiped out, but never really intended on it. V'hainu dechsev ki lo ina mi libo, that I never really afflicted them from my heart. My heart never intended on wiping them out, so it was really never, even though Haman had plans and seemed like everything was in place to kill and wipe out the Jews, that was never really Kadosh Baruch Hu's intention. It was simply to instill fear. And it was Mida Keneged Mida, again, since by Nebuchadnezzar, the serving was only an outwardly type of Avodah Zarah, so too Kadosh Baruch Hu was only an outwardly type of Kilya, of wiping them out. Then the Gemara explains, B'chatzer Ginas Bisan HaMelech, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. So what exactly, how do we understand this? So the Gemara says, this is where the parties were taking place. This is the beginning of Megillah still. So Rabbi Shmuel had a machlokas, Chad Amar Haroi L'Chatzer Chatzer. People who were fitting to be in the courtyard were in the courtyard. Haroi L'Gina L'Gina, those who were a little bit more chasha went to the beautiful garden. Haroi L'Bison L'Bison, those who were worthy of being inside the actual palace were inside the palace. There's a whole hierarchy of people. First they had set them up, everyone in the chatzar, and once they filled up the chatzar, it was full of people, very crowded, so then they moved over to the begina, and they let them carry, spill over into the garden. And that wasn't enough to fill all the people who attended the big party. Until finally it spilled over into the palace, where there was enough room for all the guests to be. But Masisa Tana, the Brisa teaches us, how Shivan bechatzar ufasach lehem shnei pesachim. So they had sat in the courtyard, and they opened up two different entranceways. So Echalagin, Echalabisan, one entered into the garden, one entered into the palace. Okay, so slightly different of exactly how the, what it means.
Because usually the gardens are bigger than the inner space.
Yeah? I guess all right.
Yeah, because, it's only...
I guess he had a small garden.
Small garden, a big hall. Right. Big hall.
I guess, I don't know, but let's say it's in a palace that's in a big city.
Right.
So how much garden would there be? I don't know, let's say for Buckingham Palace. Right.
Right.
So I don't know how many palaces, I've been to maybe one palace in England, in London.
Right. Most palaces you go, the gardens are huge.
Right. But those I imagine are like these mountaintops, like these huge,
right.
But in the city of Shusha maybe.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Chur Karpas Sechelas. So he had all these beautiful cloths. So my chor was chor mean. So Rav Amar chari chari. So that means Rashi explains chari chari means ma'isa machare, needle point. Melechas hamatzos ha'isa asui nekav nekav. Had a lot of holes in them. That's why it's called the chor. Ushmu Amar melas levana tilahem. It was referring to white wool that he spread out for them. Okay, I don't know what to make of that, but machlokas exactly. One describes it was very full of holes. One describes the material that it was made of. And karpas, what does karpas mean? Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Hanina, karim shapasim. They're cushions made of fine wool, and aglile kesef v'amudei sheish mitos zav chesef. And these cloths were upon silver poles and marble pillars and couches of gold and silver. Beautiful, beautiful palace. So Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, haroi lechesef lechesef. The guests who were chashiv, who were worthy of silver, who were sitting on silver couches. Haroi lezav lezav. Those who were more chashiv sat on golden couches. So Amar lo Rabbi Nechemia, if you had such an arrangement, such a hierarchy, you'd be creating jealousy among the various guests. So rather, he explains, he didn't want to create kinnah, he wanted to create shalom, he wanted to have achdus among his entire kingdom. So therefore he said, no, the actual seats were made of silver, and the legs were made of gold. And that's what all they all had the same type of couch for everybody to share. So look at Tosus for a second. Tosus writes, Atamato Kina. So Rabbi Nechemia had a problem with this, that you're creating jealousy if you have this whole hierarchy of people. If you had the different people who were in the right. Gina, so that would also create jealousy. Why was that question not asked before? Tosus answers, those were in the chatzar, couldn't see the people in the gina, couldn't see the people in the basin, so there wasn't any jealousy going on. But when you're sitting inside the palace and the gold chairs and the silver chairs, that would create jealousy. Okay.
Basically, it's not that they didn't get covered, it's that people in palace, the other people should see that they don't get
covered. Right. Well, I guess if you didn't know what other options were out there, so you wouldn't know you're missing cover.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Behat Vashesh. So the couches were lying on Bahat Vashesh. What does Bahat Vashesh mean? So Amar Rav Asi, Avonim Shemischotitos al Baalem. These were stones that were sought by their owners, but not easily obtained. Very rare type of material that was used for the floor, I guess. So V'chein Hu Omer, that's what it says, Avnei Nezer Misnositos al Admaso. They're stones of crown that were obtainable, but very difficult to obtain over his land. Okay, this is I guess it's just talking about different precious stones that are hard to come by. Misosos has to be a number of trials to test it out. They're very hard to find, very rare. So that's the type of material that he had lying down on the floor. And then the Megillah says, Vidar Visocharis. What do these things mean? So Rav Amar, Dari Dari, their rows of precious stones were inlaid around, the very nice tile work, I guess, that was done, and precious stones scattered throughout. Ushmul Amar Evan Tovash Yesh Bikrake Hayam. The Darashma, there's one particular precious stone that is found in the islands that whose name was called Dara. Ushiva Bemsa Suda Umira Lahem Kitsaraim. He placed it in the center of the Suda, and that served to be as a great light or chandelier, it was like as during the daytime. This reminds us of Noach and the Teva. He had this type of light also, probably the same stone, I wonder. Uh-huh. So what the Ben Yehoyada explained, it wasn't a stone that actually gave light off. It was a stone that you place next to an existing light, next to a torch in nighttime, and it would amplify that type of light. That's what it really served. It's like a mirror, I guess, which would make the light spread. So then the Gemara says, Debei Rebbe Yishmael Tana, they explained that Shikara Dror L'chol Balei Schora, that he had called, I guess he freed everybody from all the Balei Schora, from all the taxes that they'd have to pay. He had given them a free month or free year of paying taxes. That's what it means, Dara. Lashon of Dror. We find Dror, that's the Lashon that's used during Yovel, when the Avadim go free, Lashon Duror. Fashkosa b'chlizah v'chelim mekelim shonim. We know this pasuk read in the trap of the Eichatun, so that he fed them, he gave them to drink in these cups of gold and different types of kelim. So mishunim ibarle. The pasuk said mishunim. What means shonim? Mishunim is a proper grammar. So shonim, so the Gemara explains, Amar Rava yatsa baskel v'amar lahem. So a baskel came out and explained, Rishonim kalim ibnei kelim. So the initial person, your predecessors, namely Belshazzar and all his helpers, they were destroyed because because of the kalim that they use the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. Batem shonim bahem, and you're shonim, you're repeating it. You're double mish lashem mishna Torah, double to repeat it. You're doing the same thing, and you're going to be punished for this as well. And that's what the question we had before: why is he punished for using the kalim, but he was not punished for using the bigdei kuna? That's what we explained above. And that's why we read it in the tune of Eicha, Kalim Shonim, because it's referring to the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash that was destroyed. That was with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. That's why it's read in the Eicha tune. Then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Yain.
So they ended up not using them, or what?
No, they did use them. He used them, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why Achashverosh was punished for that. And that's why we read in the trap of Eicha.
Right. So they told him and they didn't listen. Is that what it's saying?
I guess, right. Well, it could be that they were using them and then the Bas Kol came out after they started using them already. So I doubt he stopped, but even if he did stop, he already did misuse it.
Right.
Okay, then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, V'yein Malchus Rav. And they had a lot, an abundance of wine. So it wasn't just Stam wine, it was royal wine, Yein Malchus. So Amar Rav says, that Milamed Shekolecha V'yachad Hishko Yain Shegadol Heimanu Bisharam, they each drank wine that was older than them. It was so aged, older than them, which of course was a very good wine. V'ashisiya Kadas, and they all drank according to the law. What does it mean Kadas? Which Das are we referring to? There's a law on how to drink wine. My Kadas, Amar Rabbi Chanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, Kadas Shatorah, they drank according to the way of the Torah. Madas Shatorah Achila Meruba, Mishasiya, just like the Torah tells us that one's supposed to eat more than he drinks. So after Dasa Shal Sarasha, Achila Maruba Mishasiya, so during the Suda, there's more eating than drinking. It's very strange that why Achashverosh would model his Suda afterwards. Kedas, or maybe he just happened to have served a meal like that, and happened to be the way the Jewish the Torah tells us to have the meal. So I'm not sure exactly what the Torah is trying, what the Drasha here is telling us. Is there a Rasha here?
It's about the
Nesachim
and the...
All right. So Rashi explains, right, that the bottom two Rashis, he says, two lines from the bottom, Kedash al Torah, Achila, Mizbeach, Meruba, Mishasiya. There's much more animals that are being brought in Mizbeach than that of the Nesachim. Achila, Nesach HaTzein. So there's much more solace, much more dough and flour that went on in the Mizbeach that was eaten than that of the Yayin. Oh, interesting. We are the new Mizbeach now. This is the new Beis HaMikdash, if you will. Uh-huh. Let's see. So Marsha weighs in here. Let's see if he says what you said. Uh-huh. So it sounded like he was acting something different than he was. Achashverosh understood what went wrong. He didn't want to bring about the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he wanted to say, okay, we're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way the Mizbeach was done, doing something good and proper, and this way HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be angry at us. He tried to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, in modeling after Mizbeach, like modeling it, but really in a positive way to try to gain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favor. As was what you were saying, this is going to be the replacement of the Mizbeach. Also interesting. So then the Gemara says, "Ain ones," that it was without any force, no one forced you to drink. So Amar Rebbe Elazar, "Melamed shekolecha ve'achad hishkayu miyayim midinaso." Each person brought wine from his own province that he was used to, accustomed to drinking. We didn't force you to drink from Shushan necessarily or any other province. You brought your own wine. Or probably you didn't bring your own wine. Probably they gave them wine, because I think Achashverosh was giving out wine. They gave each person the wine from where they came from. Lasos kirasan ish v'ish, they all drank according to each person's pleasure. Samar Rava lasos kirtan Mordechai v'Haman, it wasn't anyone's, it's really ish for each, that refers to Mordechai and Haman in particular. Mordechai dichsev ish Yehudi, one of the psukim that we say out loud. And Haman ish tsar v'oyev, these are the two ishim, two anashim, each one was called an ish, and that's the marsha said above, the fact that it's going according to the ratzon of Mordechai and Haman, and Mordechai was included, they were eating kosher food at the Suda. That's what the marsha explains this point. Rashi tells us, very interestingly, the last line, the Keratz of Mordechai v'Haman, Heim hayu sari ha-mashkim b'misha. They were the butlers. They were the ones who were serving everybody the drinks throughout the meal. So interestingly, Mordechai really took part in this meal. He was
right,
he was a waiter.
Maybe he was only serving. He wasn't.
So, but you're certain the fact that he was helping out was interesting. Okay, the Gemara then says, "V'gam Vashti Amalka Asas Amishtan Nashim Beis Hamalcha." She also had made a separate party for the women, Beis Hanashim Bibaleit. So it should be Beis Hanashim, not Beis Malchus. Is that the question? So, Gemara says, "Amarava Shneim L'dvar Averit Niskapnu." Both Achashverosh and Vashti had intentions of something bad in Avera. They wanted it to be, wasn't in a separate house, it wasn't completely cut off, it was actually in the same room, the same palace, because they wanted there to be Averas, they wanted to be Arayos to be taking place. So Hainu Dami Inchi, that's what people go on to say, Iu Bikarivi it to say, so he with large pumpkins, and his wife, Bivutune, with small pumpkins. Okay? So what this means to say, apparently, is that they both had the same idea of pumpkins, one was bigger, one was smaller, but they had the same intentions, meaning, in this case, bad intentions of the Avera. I find these Hainig Dhamma inches are the hardest things to understand. Let alone the Aramaic that's being used, to understand what exactly, how do you apply these, I think we've said this in the past, how to apply these sayings to us. Okay, he with large pumpkins and his wife with small pumpkins. I'll remember that one.
We have in Brachos, boots in Mekifei, when Abba, they pointed to where is Hashem when they were discussing who, what age can you include someone, and I think, I'm sure it's Rabba or Abai, someone point to the ceiling and then the other one went outside and he pointed up to the sky.
Oh, when they were kids.
When they were kids. Right. Like boots and small pumpkins already from their roots, you know.
Yeah, pumpkins must have been a popular vegetable back then. They used that as a these sayings. Okay. So what's the connection between these two? That's for you to figure out. So the Gemara says, "B'yom Ashvi v'ktov leha mech b'yayin." It was the seventh day and finally Achashverosh was full of drink and he was done. Party was over. So up until this point, 6 days weren't enough drinking. He needed 7 days of feasting. What's unique about the seventh day? So Amar Rava Yom Hashvi Shabbos Ayav. The seventh day was Shabbos. They started all the partying on the day one, on Sunday, and it was completed on Shabbos. She Yisrael Ochlim Veshosim Maschilin B'Divrei Torah U'V'Divrei Tishbachos. That when the Jews would eat and drink, they begin to discussing Torah and praising Hashem. Their matters would only be discussing indecent matters. So too, during the Suda of the Achashverosh, so the conversation was, the Medinos were much, the women from there were much prettier, and they said, no, the Persian women are much prettier than them. So Amalar called Achashverosh says to them, my wife is neither from Madai nor from Persia, from Kasdai. Return from Larosa, would you like to see her? May I see my wife? Amr al-Mitz, yes, please. Uvavad shite aruma, as long as she's naked. So I'm not sure how this connects really to the Shri. I guess the point is that it's showing contrast between how the Jews, you know, have their meal versus how the non-Jews have their meal. And that's perhaps what's being emphasized by the Yom HaShvi. The day of Shabbos, where the Klai is at their best in terms of having the Suda in the best way, we see this great contrast. So Shibamidash other modid ba modid in love. The way that the person himself measures other people, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to measure him and test him and punish him. Milame Chaisa Vashti Harsha Bivim Binos Yisrael, Umashitana Rumos Vosa Behem Lach Vashabas. So why did Vashti deserve this punishment? Because she was making the Binos Yisrael do the same thing, present themselves in front of her, not wearing any clothing, and doing mlacha on Shabbos. So for that reason, Hainu Dechsiv Achar Dumailo, after these things, Keshoch Hamas HaMelech, when the anger of Melech Achashverosh had subsided, Zaches Vashi Vesasher Asa Vesasher Nigzar Leh, so he had remembered what Vashi had done, and everything had been decreed upon her, Keshem Sheasasa Kach Nigzar Leh, what does it mean that was done, that was Nigzar, referring to that was, she did to the Bnos Yisrael, was Nigzar on her, from above. Now how Achashverosh realized that this was the Gzeira, I'm not sure. Many times we find that the word, the Gra tells us whenever the word Melech alone appears, it refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This time it says Melech Achashverosh. When it says Melech Achashverosh, that refers to actually Achashverosh. So I'm not sure how, but I guess the Megillah is hinting at some point that this was the Gzeira from above, that since she did this to Bnos Yisrael, that was decreed upon her to be done to her. What happened was, Vatimayin Hamalka Vashti, when she was requested by the king to come present herself in front of her, in front of him and all the other men, she refused. So Michte Pritzahavi? Well, I understand. She was very prudent. She shouldn't have any problem presenting herself in that way in front of all the men. They both had intentions of Avera. So what was holding her back? So my time of the Asi, why didn't she come? So I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Milamed Sheparcha Bataras. What happened was, Taras broke out and she had this disease, this leprosy throughout her body, and she was embarrassed to come. B'masi Satana, the others teach us that Ba Gavriel V'asa Lazanov, this we famously know, that Gavriel came along and put a tail on her, and she was of course embarrassed to be presented with a tail. That's why she refused to come. Had it not been for those, one of those two reasons, she would have had no problem going in front of everybody. So look at the top Tosas for a second. Sheparcha Bataras, Yishami brings a source. How do we know Taras? Seems like a pretty random thing. Is there some type of basis that we know she had Taras? So Yishami Mfarsh, the Alfino Nigzar, the Chsiv Gavi Vashti Min Nigzar, the Chsiv Gavi Uzoya Kishinitzara, the Chsiv Bei Nigzar Mi Beis Hashem. When Uzoyahu had been inflicted with Taras, it says the word Nigzar, so that we have Xersho Nigzar, that she also had Taras. That's the basis for this idea. So now the Gemara continues and says, "Va'iksof ha'melach ma'od." Achashverosh was extremely angry that Vashti did not come listen to his command. So my dalaka bei kulihai. So why was Achashverosh so angry? Am I Rav Shalachalei? Because Vashti sent a message as follows: Bar Ahuriyare de Abba, the stable boy of my father Belshazzar. So she was demeaning. She said, "Who are you? You king? Tell me what to do. You have no." Royalty, you used to be the stable boy for my father Belshazzar. Abba l'kabel alfa chamra shasa v'laravi. My father drank wine, equal 1,000, up to 1,000 people, and didn't get drunk. Who gavra, ishtati b'chamra, this man, Achashverosh, would drink just a little bit of wine, and get drunk in just a few days. So miyad chamasa baraba, he was so angry, she really struck a chord there, and he got upset at her. So vayomer melech l'chachamim, so the king said to his advisors, so what should I do? So, Man Chachamim, Rabbanan, who are the wise men? Rabban. He had Rabban. He knew who to be the advisors. So the Chachamim, Rabbanan, were actually his advisors. So he asked them, so Yodei Itim, what does mean Yodei Itim? The people who know the times. She Yodim La'abishanim Lukba Chalashim. They know how to be Abishanim when you need to add an extra month, when you need to make a 30-day month. Amr Lahem Dainua Li. Achashverosh says, judge Vashti for me. I'm Rehechen Ovid. The Chacham had to say, well, how are you going to go about this process? If we say to kill her, the Machar Pasuk Lechamra Ubar Leminan, so tomorrow he's going to be sober and he's going to be very upset at us for having advised to kill her. If we say leave her alone, just ignore it, she's mamish disgracing and demeaning the royalty. So they said, let's do the following. The day we were exiled, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we were sent out of our land, the Eretz Yisrael. The Eta advice, all Chachma was taken from us. We don't have the proper advice anymore. We don't have the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not able to bring proper advice. We can't give a capital punishment anymore. Go ask advice from Amon and Moav. They still stay in the place where they come from. Like the wine that sits in a tenement. Meaning, since they're still in the location where they live, in the country, they have that ability to give the proper advice. We, the Jews who are left, we are exiled from our nation, we're not in our homeland, we don't have the proper way of thought, we don't have the connection, we can't advise you properly. So, time Amulei. So the Chacham said, it was quite... So what the Chacham said was quite reasonable. Dechsiv Sha'anan Moav Minurav, that Moav has been at ease from its youth. Veshoket Hu Al Shmarav, and had been settled in Shmarav, in sediment. Velo Hurak Mikli Akli, they had not been thrown from one Kli to the next Kli. Uvegol Holach, they didn't go to the exile. They always stayed Al Kain Amar Tamo Bo Reach Lo Namar, and therefore the taste remained in them, and the smell never changed. So this is the idea that since they still remain in the country where they come from, they still have the strength and ability and wisdom to properly advise. So miyad, so right away, the Achashverosh listened to their advice. So the one closest to him was these individuals who apparently came from these other nations, and they were the ones to advise him. So Amar Reb Levi called pasuk ze al shum karbanos namar. This entire pasuk actually is a reference to the various karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, Karshana, what does that refer to? Amru Malachi Asharis, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to Hashem, Yibonu Shalom, Klum Hikrivu Lefnecha Karim B'nei Shana, Kedech Shekivu Yisrael Lefnecha. So did these Goyim bring lambs for the first year? Karim is the Lashon of lambs. the first year, like the Jews brought before you. So this is supposed to be a defense for Klal Yisrael. And furthermore, Shesar, Klum Hikrivu Lufanecha Shtei Sorim, Shesar Lashon of Shtei Torim, did they bring two doves as the Jews did? Admasa, Klum Bano Lufanecha Mizbech Adama, did they build for you a Mizbech Adama, referring to the big Mizbech where the Karbanos were being brought? Tarshish, Klum Shimshi Lufanecha Bevigde Kuna, did they serve you wearing Bigde Kuna? Tarshish Visham Vyashra, these are some of the stones that were found in the Choshen Mishpat. Meris, Klum Merisum Badam Lefanecha, did they merit? Meris is a stir. Remember the Gemara's in the Gemara's in Yuma talk about when they shech the par, then they shech the sire, the Kohen Gadol. So after shechting the par, before he start sprinkling, he sprinkled the blood first on the Aron Kodesh. And then he had to leave the blood over and shech the sire. If you leave the blood to sit, it's going to congeal. So the guy being the Maris mixing and stirring the blood so it doesn't congeal, while the Kohen shechs the other, the goat, and sprinkles the goat blood. So did they ever mix any of the blood like Klal Yisrael did? And then finally, Marsana, Klum, Mirsu, Biminachos, Lavanecha, did they stir the Mincha offerings like the Klal Yisrael's? And one more. And Mimuchan, Klum, Hechino, Shalucha, Lavanecha, did they prepare a whole table of Lechem upon him for you? So that's what the words here mean. And that was Malchus HaSharis trying to complain to Kadosh Baruch Hu, please show mercy for all the great things that Klal Yisrael did to you through the Karbanos. Then the Gemara says, Vayomer Mimuchan, Tan Mimuchan to Haman. Mimuchan, as we know, is a reference to Haman. Gemara says, Lama Nikra Shemo Mimuchan. Why was he called Mimuchan if his name was in fact Haman? Shemuchan Lepranios, he was really destined, his fate was to be punished, to be hanged ultimately. He is Muchan, prepared to be killed. Amar Rav Kana Mikanja Hedyot Kovitz Barosh. So Rav Kana says from here we see that a someone who's just a Hedyot, a regular person, jumps to the front. So even though Mimuchan was listed last on the list, he ended up being jumping to the head. Later on we see that in the Megillah, he jumps to the head. Okay, I'm not sure what the point there is. But what does it mean that Hedyot jumps to the front? I mean, anybody who's the front top advisor who always assumes a Hedyot, I guess? Is that the message they're trying to tell us? That's...
But what's the message?
Whenever you see someone, a top advisor, we should assume he's a Hedyot. Is that the point, maybe? I don't know.
He was like, he was a common man. He was nothing special. He didn't come from any special lineage or anything. He's the one who assumed like that role of trying to annihilate. It's simpleton, like someone who's not well regarded, not from the nobility. He's the one who takes the lead on trying to kill.
Is that advice for us that we should look for the people who are simple? Those are the ones who are ultimately the going to become leaders to look out for?
The Kenyans, like the Barack
Obama. I think it's the opposite. I think he's saying here is that Mamuchan was named last at the beginning.
Right.
And then now he said, I guess you always see people who are insecure, they are the ones who have more need to say.
So they're like overcompensating for themselves.
People who are quiet usually are the ones who know what's happening and they just...
The people who are insecure, but it gives them the drive. It reminds you of like the Michael Jordans of the world, where he was like didn't make the high school basketball team, and that was his whole goal in life, to become the best basketball player. In fact, he did. So that gives you a drive sometimes when you are on the bottom of the list. Okay.
Michael Jordan wasn't good when he was a kid.
He didn't make his high school basketball team.
Oh, really?
And when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, his whole speech was aimed at his high school coach for not making the basket, letting him make the basketball team. So he had a lesson to prove, and he proved it. It wasn't the best Hall of Fame speech. I didn't hear it, but from what I heard, it was very negative. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lios Kolish Zohar Beveso. Every man should be the ruler of the house. That's what they sent out, because they showed that the weakness in Achashverosh in his palace, that Vashti didn't listen, so every man had to show he was in charge of his house. So Amarava, Ilmali Igros Harishonos, Lo nishayar misonim shel Yisrael sardu palit. Had not been for the first letters containing this proclamation of that the men should be the in charge of the house, there would not remain any members left of any Jews left. Why? So Amri my hide the shardilan. Where do they send to them? Lios kol ish sora beveso. So pshita afilu karcha beveso pardashcha leheve. So it's obvious that even a lowly, literally a weaver, should be the authority in his own house. So so then they said, this is such a strange letter. Meaning, of course we know that the husband, the father, he's the head of the household. What's the chiddush Achishveish is sending out here? So the fact that he sent out this letter shows that this king we have is somewhat foolish. So when they send the letter later on about killing the Jews, everyone took this, they didn't take it so seriously either. So he lost credibility, and that was the function of this first letter. That was the idea of Leos Kolish Sore Bereso. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk by Afkein Hamelach Pekidim, and the king had appointed a number of officers throughout his kingdom. So Amar of Rab Maidich said, what does the pasuk mean? Kol Arum Yase Bedas. So every prudent man acts with das, with knowledge. Uchsil Yifros Ivelas, but a fool spreads out his foolishness. So Kol Arum Yase Bedas is Zed David. This refers to David Hamelach, that the Chesiv Ayomu Lo Avadav Yivakshul Adoni Hamelach Na'ar Besula. So David, servant said to him, let them seek for the king, a young maiden. So, now, come on, the Havile Barta, Aisi, Nehele. So everybody who had a daughter wanted to bring to the king. So that's when, to marry the king, David, everybody wanted to do that. Uchsil, Uchsil Yifros, Ivelis, when it refers to a foolish person, spreads his foolishness further. Zeachashverosh, the Chesiv Ayfkir Hamelach Pekidim, that he appointed officers. Command Havale Barti Itmar Minei, anybody who had a daughter tried hiding him from Achashverosh. So two different perspectives of depending who the king is. You know, King Melch David, everybody wanted to have their daughter marry him, but nobody wanted to have their daughter marry Achashverosh. That's what the pasuk refers to. Okay, Ish Yehudi Shushan Abira, Ish Mini, and so on. The Gemara says, my comment, what does this pasuk mean? Il Yuchse Kaos, if it's coming to trace the lineage of Mordechai, so go up until Binyamin. So what's the whole pasuk? Let's get the pasuk on the side here. I don't have it on the side of my Gemara. Here we go. Right, Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. So if we're trying to tell that Mordechai came from Binyamin, should have written Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish ben Soan ben Soan ben Soan ben Binyamin. Why did it go to Ben Kish? Stop and say, by the way, he's from Yemini, he's from Binyamin. It should have had the lineage go the whole way back to Binyamin. Why stop only after four? So it seems to be saying not going back to Binyamin. That wasn't the goal. So Elamite Shana Hani. So why did they only mention these few parents and grandfathers of Mordechai? Tana Kulm al Shmo Nikru. Because all these were ways of referring to or describing Mordechai. Ben Yair was a description of him. Ben Shehir Einem Shel Yisrael B'Tfilaso. He was the one who brightened everybody's eyes, enlightened all of Klal Yisrael through Tfilah. Ben Shimi also described Mordechai. Ben Sheshama El Tfilaso. It was the son of Shimi, of whose his Tfilas were listened to by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Kish, another description of Mordechai, Shehikish Al Shari Rachman B'Niftchulo. He knocked, if you will, on the doors, the gates of Shemayim, and they were opened up for him. So that's what it means, all these different names of Mordechai. So Karli Yehudi, Amam Yehudi Kasi. But then the Gemara, the Pasuk, calls him Yehudi as well. So if he's Yehudi, it sounds like he's from the Yehuda. Did he come from Shevet Yehuda, or did he come from Yemini? So Karli Yehudi, Amam Yehudi Kasi. Karli Yemini, Alma Binyamin Kasi. Well, which one did he come from? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchta Binimu Sohaya. Rav Nachman was crowned with many names. I guess that's the first answer. These were not describing where he came from. They're just additional names for him. Oh, no, it's explained rather, sorry. He was crowned names both from his mother and his father. Does Rashi explain that? Let's see. See Rashi at the bottom here? It's Mukhtar bin Miso Haya, Bishemos Noam Nimus Shem Balashan Yavon. I guess crowned with various names. Okay. So then the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chan Amar Yeshub and Levi says a different answer. No, they're both true. Aviv mi Binyamin, v'imam mi Yehuda. His father came from Binyamin, and his mother came from Yehuda. Now, even though normally we don't attribute any lineage to the mother's side, which she comes from, for some reason, in the case of Mordechai, this was done in a special honor. So let's see. Rabbanon Amri, Mishpachos Mizgaru Zubazu. The Chum explained that Yehuda and Binyamin would fight with one another who was accredited with the birth of Mordechai, the great tzaddik. So Mishpachas Yehudim Almeres Anakarim Mishyali Mordechai, we're the ones who caused the birth of Mordechai. The Lokatli David L'Shimi Ben Gera. So the fact that David, who came from Yehuda, didn't kill Shimon Ben Gera, and Shimon Ben Gera was an ancestor of Mordechai, so we should be accredited with it, since we didn't kill Shimon Ben Gera. But he actually came from us, so we were the ones who have given birth to him, so he should be credited to us. So that was the debate that went on between Yehuda and Shimon, Yehuda and Binyamin, and that's why they're both somewhat credited with the birth of Mordechai.
He did kill Shimon Ben Gera. He told him that he couldn't leave the city for a few, he had to stay. He had to stay within the surroundings. Shlomo killed him.
So I guess he had children before then. And
yeah, because he told David told Shlomo that Shimon Ben Gera shouldn't have a regular death.
Uh huh.
And that's when I think Shlomo said, "If you leave, Yerushalayim, you're gonna die."
He enticed him to leave. He didn't.
I know. And then what happened was, is he lost some avadim, and he went to chase him, and then.
It's right when Shlomo became king, right in the beginning.
Right,
yeah.
At the beginning, right.
Okay, but I think he tricked him. I think he set him up. I think he set a trap to draw him out of the city.
No, but he knew he wouldn't stay.
Uh-huh.
Like meaning he did it bechokhmah because he knew it would never happen that he would stay forever with him.
Okay.
He did have people watching him all the time, so as soon as he left.
Okay, so then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Knesset Yisrael Amra, Leidach Gisa. Klal Yisrael said in a different, an opposite way, that Re'e Ma'aseh LeYehuda U'mashilim LeYemini. Look what Yehuda did to me, and Binyamin paid me. Meaning, Ma'aseh LeYehuda, what did Yehuda do to me? Lekat LeDavid LeShimi. The fact that David did not kill Shimi. That the Yisrael Mine Mordechai de Mikne Bei Haman, that they ended up having Mordechai descend from them, who provoked Haman. They're blaming Mordechai. Mordechai had not been around, so Haman never got angry, only because Mordechai was around and didn't bow down. That created this whole issue. Mordechai was the cause of all these trials that we had. And what Binyamin paid back was the Lokatle Shaul Agag, that Shaul didn't kill Agag, so it's Binyamin's fault also, because Shaul, who came from Binyamin, should have killed Agag, and there should have been no Amalek left, and Haman would never have been born. So they saw Mina Muhammad Dimitar Ali Israel, so they're blaming Mordechai in all the events, either because it's from Binyamin, which it came from, or from Yehuda. Okay, fine. Let's just read this one more line here, that's probably a good stopping point. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Liol Min Binyamin Kasi. He really came from Binyamin. Vamai Kari Le Yehudi. Why was he called Yehudi? Al Shum Shekafer Bavodazar. Since he had, he rebelled against the Avodah Zarah, Shekal Kofer B'Avodah Zarah Nik Yehudi. Anybody who goes against Avodah Zarah gets the title of Yehudi. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Iti Gavrin Hudayim. This is a pasuk that's found where? In Daniel. So, I think they are Yehudim, because in the Gemara, the pasuk goes on to explain, since they did not serve the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar, they were given the title of Yehuda. So here also, he was given the title of Yehudi, even though he didn't actually come from the tribe of Yehuda. Okay.
Shkoyah.
I guess the idea probably could be it's going to